Quite excited to make a Pressing Matters debut here. Wow. So tell me a little bit about this segment before we get to listen to these people. Tell me a bit about the segment and where the birth child was, who invented it.
Ask Loz. I don't know anything about it. I didn't even know I did a segment. I didn't know I was a part of it.
Well, in the off-season, we put our great minds together.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Who are we talking
about? All three, four of us, five of us, the team.
And we decided, I was obviously focused in that meeting.
We decided to come up with Pressing Matters, where we really dig deep into it. Certain topics and challenge each other to be better.
So how long has this been going?
Sorry?
How long has it been going?
I've been a part of it 1 week. I think I've been 1 week.
By the sounds of that intro, I must have been a part of it that week.
Yeah,
well,
you were away. You were away. We tried to Zoom you in Pakistan.
And what did I do? Reject call?
Yeah. There was some music playing in the background, so I don't know whether you're in a Pakistan nightclub. What are the nightclubs like over there?
I don't know.
Only one thing worse than a pocket dial, and that's a pocket answer.
Yeah. Oh.
You never want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to be careful of your bum dial, too.
Just check your most recent call. Just want to make sure before you go out,
your
last call is a safe one.
Now, tell me this in all honesty.
What?
And when you're having a conversation, it could be about anything, but it might be about a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
And you've realised you've rung them recently.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, halfway through that conversation, do you pick up your phone and just give it a bit
of a check
to make sure that you haven't butt dialed?
No.
I've done that a number of times.
That's why you got to check your last... The only
You're
call
laughing,
that matters,
so I know you've done it too.
The only call that matters is your last call.
I think everyone does that.
Because you can't skip calls. So whoever your last call is, that's the only one you can pocket dial. Or it's a new person.
Oh, no, I find I can...
You can pocket dial a new person, but you can't like if you go recent calls.
No. Just the last one.
The last one's the one you
got
to worry
about. I always get a bit nervous sometimes.
Contrary to popular opinion, I don't slag too many people off. But if I have hopped off the phone to somebody and they've annoyed me, and I'm then venting usually to my partner,
I do
double check that
See,
phone call.
Well, that's all I'm saying. It could be that scenario
has ended.
Everyone does it.
But don't pretend you don't.
It's smart sledging.
But I don't randomly think to myself,
I'm not randomly talking about X.
I better get my phone and see whether it's gone to R on my call list.
If you're talking deep enough, if you're talking deep enough about someone, you'll have that thought. Let me tell you. You'll go, I better check my phone here.
Anyway, what do you got for us in Pressing Matters?
Mr. Annesley on the turbo obstruction rule is, I think, where we should start.
Jake gets to the defensive line and stops running. And all coaches know that if you are putting lead runners through, you have to keep them moving. Otherwise, you are at high risk of incurring a penalty. Then the ball looks like it's going to go wide. And if the ball does go wide, this becomes a different decision to make. But the ball gets turned back inside and straight through the hole.
Well explained.
Yeah. Agree completely?
Oh, I agree with the ruling, because that's how they've operated it, because it's just been black and white. And once you go to the bunker, they're just looking at the rules. They're not looking at subjectivity or anything like that. They're just going, that's the way the rule is written.
Yeah.
He's run in and stopped in the line. Moretti had no chance to close down the space where Tom was going through, so it needed to be a penalty. My only thought on it is, I think, and again, we can talk about a common sense decision, because I thought Moretti, while he may have been able to shut down some of the space, he would have got an arm to Tom.
And getting an arm to Tom
wasn't going to stop him.
No.
But is this where we're grossly unfair to referees? They follow the letter
of the law.
But the bunker follows it to the letter of the law. And we still criticise them. Yes. So
we will get inconsistencies too along the way, because there'll be a situation where, I'll guarantee you this year, someone is in a similar situation where contact has been made and it'll be a subjective call. Did he stop in the line, or did he interfere with that person? Did the player take a dive? All those type of things. And at some stage, one of these will get through, and everyone then will go, we're being inconsistent
and
here.
It's sport. So one team is peed off. The other team is happy. Welcome to life. That's what I'm saying. It's, at the end of the day, it sounds like a lot of ex-great rugby league players think the rule is garbage. And in that instance, it's 99%. It's not affecting the try. But they're also saying, but that's what the rule is. So
yeah,
you can't, yeah, unless you change the rule.
And I know they've got to have rules in place because you can't have people running through the line and taking out defenders. We all understand that.
The problem is the purpose of the rule is to stop defenders being obstructed from committing a tackle.
Committing a tackle.
So if they were never going to commit the tackle, the rule was essentially...
Yeah, but how can you guarantee that?
What was happening was the lead runner would direct himself at the defender coming across. Mm. That's why they implemented the rule. Because teams were starting to use the old tactic of you run through and you just get in his way and stop him.
You can't get
deliberately stop him.
Yeah. And then you switch direction and take the gap.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's why it came in. But now, in the situation on the weekend, he'd clocked off. Jake should have run through.
That was 100% plan B.
It was just he failed to do his job.
Yes.
He needed to continue to move across at a faster speed if he was going to make that tackle.
Yeah.
But he didn't. But with the way that the rule is written, he got an advantage out of that.
Yeah.
And we will see that and continue to see it because guys do it on an edge.
And you can't blame the player for that either.
No.
That's just that's what coaches and players, that's in every sport. You've got to push the boundaries as much as you can. So every player would use that to their advantage if they were in that situation.
It's
so
like
you
can't blame
the player.
Lying down to get a penalty.
Exactly right.
You know, if you've been clipped high at some stage, you will probably lie there.
Yeah.
And go, wait here.
3 seconds, comes on the big screen, there's the penalty.
It does create an environment where we're enhancing players' chances of acting. And I don't think
compared to soccer, NRL's a long way. Like, we're nowhere near soccer.
I agree, but there are players who stay down after almost every tackle in the hope that it will be reviewed for a high shot.
Oh,
and it's a horrible habit.
But it happens in all sport. You're trying to push the boundaries. You're trying to get an advantage for your team. It's like in AFL when they duck their head, you know, and then they throw their head back, pretending that they've been hit.
Well,
what do they call that? Staging?
I don't want to. Yeah, they do. I don't want to go on too much of a tangent. But it's funny how rules create new rules create new problems. For example, avoid head high.
It's like the bubble under the carpet, isn't it? You know, you pull the rug a little bit under the carpet and get another bubble somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly right.
Let's have a listen to Bunnies head coach Jason Demetriou to see whether he thinks he's the right man for the job. I have a feeling he's going to say yes.
I think I've been with this group for a long time. I understand the group. I'm confident that we're on the same page and we're working together. And like I said, we just got to turn it around. Got no doubt I'm the man who can do that. But ultimately, that's what I sit here and say. It makes no difference to what people are going to say. Well, the only thing that's going to make difference is get our training right, get our performance right next week, get some results on the board. That's all that's going to change.
One thing I completely agree with there is that it doesn't matter what he or the club says.
True.
Yeah, there's definitely no doubt about that, Ben, because you've got to go with your actions now, South Sydney. And that they can say all the things that they want to say in the press conference, and I'm not talking about Jason here, I'm talking about the players coming out in support of the coach, but you've got to show it on the field. And you show that with your enthusiasm and you show it with your commitment to get a job done. And they haven't done that in the opening 3 weeks. They get a great opportunity on Friday to come up against the Bulldogs side, who were buoyant after last weekend, having a great performance against the Titans, to come out there and show they're united, to show they're behind the coach, to show they're playing for the jumper and to play for each other. Backs against the wall, you've got to see a committed performance and you've got to see it with energy. And it starts with your defence. The hardest thing to do in a game is defend. And you've got to consistently do it and you've got to love it. All the good sides love it. And they get stronger as the game goes on with their defence. And it's difficult to break them down. Whereas South Sydney at the moment, they go through a difficult period and it gets too hard for them. And then they leak points. And then there's no coming back once your ruck gets blown apart. So, yes, we can criticise some of their senior players. And, yes, we can attack Luttrell at the back and Cody for not playing as well as what they should. But I'm telling you, if you're getting blown apart in the middle and you're not hitting and sticking effectively in defence, mate, good luck.
Well, the question that he responded to, I'll put to you. Are you 100% confident he's the right man to coach them?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. But I think what we see, if he is the right man, we'll see in their performances coming soon. Like, their opening three games have been tough games. All right? They've been against sides that I think will be close to top four sides. But it's the way they perform this weekend and then gradually improve over the next couple of weeks. If he can... I'm not prepared to say they can't play finals. I see too much talent in that football team. Talent is not enough to get you to a final series. You got to be, have hard work, and you've got to be applying yourself, all aspects of the game, and you've got to be training hard, and you've got to be united, but you've got to go out there and show it with your actions. So I will see after 6 weeks how they're travelling. If they're only one from six, they're in all sorts of trouble. So they've got a great period coming up. They've got the Dogs, Warriors and Sharks. If they can jag two or possibly three, then they're right back in the conversation of playing finals.
It's not the first time you've seen a team do this as well. Hmm. Lose the first three games. Well, Souths did it the year they won, didn't they? Weren't they one from four?
Yeah, they won from four.
So, I know, of course, everyone's going to be hard on Souths. They're a well-supported team. There's high expectation. They had a terrible year last year. They've probably got a better squad this year than last year. So, yeah, they shouldn't be zero from three. But, mate, it's confidence, self-belief and confidence. They get a win this week. It could just turn things around. They get a bit of a roll on. So, I just think, And the coach has said it spot on. It doesn't matter what they say. It's not what they say. It's what they do.
And so, it doesn't matter how they win this weekend.
Just find a way.
You've got to find a way. Right. It doesn't matter if it's ugly. Yep. As long as they walk away off that pitch with 2 points.
100%.
Our last one, courtesy of Fox Footy. Let's have a listen to Lee Montagna and see what he thinks on Peter Wright potentially being suspended for 4 weeks.
I think that is too harsh. For a player that I saw instinctively braced at the very last second when contact was inevitable. For me, the fear is now that if this is going to be 4 weeks, he's going to miss a month of football. Let's not be surprised if players start pulling out of contests, because that would be the smarter option and be called soft than it is to miss a month of football and really dampen and hurt a team's chances of trying to win games of football, because he's such an important player to them. It just doesn't sit easy with me when you watch it in slow-mo to say, oh, he had other options and all these sorts of things. We know how fast the game is. They're coming at each other a million miles an hour, and it's instinctive. You don't know in that situation until contact is inevitable what you are going to do.
Well said. I reckon that is 100% spot on, in my opinion.
Agreed. Now, Lee Montagna, Jonathan Brown, who's spoken along similar lines, and it sounds as though Eddie Maguire's sort of taken it on a different tangent altogether. They all think it's inevitable he will be suspended. But they're saying any chat that this was a deliberate act or worthy of going straight through to the tribunal is just ridiculous. 4 weeks is excessive for a guy who had no other option. Now, people are going to say he could have spoiled. He could have protected the player coming back. He protects the player coming back. He's lucky to be picked next week. Mm. He tries to spoil. They both get hurt. He's gone for a mark, realised there's a player cutting in front of him who's taken the mark. Mm. He's turned his body to protect himself. It's unlucky. He happens to be a foot taller than the bloke he hit, so his shoulder hit his head.
That's a massive difference, I reckon, because of the perception, because of how much bigger he is. It's the look of it. Mm. But when you look at it, he had eyes for the footy until the last moment. I don't think anyone's saying he shouldn't be suspended. I just think everyone's saying 4 weeks is way too much.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that all contact sports face is this duty of care to players on the field. I think it's becoming a big issue now. And it'll only get bigger as we go forward. And I reckon some of the things, and again, I've been guilty of it, because what I think is an accident, other people now say, no, that's not an accident, and we're going to get rid of that.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of that behaviour. But I'm still a little bit stuck in the past, because that's the way I saw it played. Mm. That's the way we played. But now we're going through this phase of trying to phase it all out. And I reckon for contact sports, we're trying to make the game perfect, which I get, and take away injuries from players if we can avoid it. And also, everyone's wanting their kids to play a safe sport. And if they see actions like that, then mums and dads look at it and go, oh, geez, do I really want my kid being a part
but
of
who
that
committed,
game?
Who committed
but
more
that's,
dangerous
that's where we're heading. Whether we're Laws. Right or wrong,
okay, so,
that's,
okay.
that's where we're,
everyone
that's the
wants,
path
everyone
we're going
wants
down.
Their kid to drive a car, then don't look at the news because there's a car accident every day. Don't swim in the ocean because there's sharks. Don't ride a motorbike because the crash is way worse than a car. Like, mate, don't walk out your front door.
Get all that. Get all that. But that's the big one of the big issues that all contact sports
mate,
are facing.
Who,
because
who,
down
don't
the track...
Bowl, don't dare bowl a bouncer
but,
in cricket.
But down the track... If they haven't put the protection in place and the structure around what the penalties will be and shown that duty of care, then all of a sudden, 10 years' time, the game could be liable and all of a sudden there could be a massive compensation clause.
I get that, but who has the duty of care? Who was committing the more dangerous act out of Peter Wright and Harry Cunningham?
Oh, yeah.
Back with the
but what
fly,
I'm saying is the game has exactly a duty of care to try and look after the players out there on the field. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying this is the biggest challenge for the game going forward with all the concussions.
I get that. So, and I agree, but why is the
well, what do you want
why
them to
is
do?
The culpability with Peter Wright?
I get all that. I'm
that's
just
all
being
they can do
I'm
if you're
just being
that,
a devil's
though,
advocate here, throwing it back to you guys.
But then Taylor May,
what do you want what do you want them to do?
Do you think Taylor May should have got done for the Reece Walsh?
No. I thought
because
that was an
that
accident.
Looks that's I agree. It's 100% an accident, but because there's an injury and it's a head injury. We're saying, I think that's what's happening at the moment. They're going on the injury. Mm. Like, how do you protect? Like, play touch footy then.
Well, it's a contact sport. So we all agree that at times in a contact sport,
there's going
to
be accidents.
There's going to be things that we deem to be accidents.
Yes.
Dental.
Yes.
But the codes themselves, they have to be showing that they're looking after the people that are playing the game. That they have to. Otherwise, they could be in big trouble.
No, I get that, but I feel like there's still a line. Like, if you're going, that's what I'm saying. If you keep taking this to the extreme, then don't drive a car. No. Don't swim in the ocean. Because you can get injured and hurt with everything we do.
When
you choose to play a sport like rugby league, rugby union, AFL, you'd like to, like, you're never going to get every parent that wants their child to do that.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
But you also understand, as a parent, that it's,
risk
it's part of the sport.
Yeah. But,
you know?
But I think what we'll find is the game, well, certainly rugby league, as we move further down the track, we will see incidents that we think have been innocuous that will now start to be reported.
I know. I understand
so,
what
so,
you're
so, saying. So yeah. Yesterday I raised the issue about that Xavier Coates.
Yeah.
So he dives in the air 3 metres from a try line.
We're praising him. It's the greatest try of all time. Yeah.
You wait until someone comes across.
You're 100% right.
And tackles him in the air, and he ends up in an awkward situation, and God forbid it doesn't happen, but injures his shoulder or something like that.
Breaks his arm.
That type of tackle will be outlawed.
Yeah, just
it will be banned.
I agree with you.
But just on that,
dangerous.
I agree with you. You said yesterday that... You can't tackle somebody in the air, but in that instance, I think you can.
Yeah, you can. But if the ball bounces and you jump in the air to catch it, you're not allowed to tackle that bloke in the air. If you kick the ball and you're the attacking player, crossfield kick, I go to catch it in the air. You're not allowed to tackle me.
Mm. So
they changed the rule with the bounce last year when someone got injured, and I think it was in a Warriors game or a Sharks game. I can't remember which one. So they're taking that out of the game. You can't tackle in the air. So I can see a situation with the Xavier Coates try. If something unfortunately happens with a player diving like that and you've come across to try and stop him and he ends up in a dangerous position, ends up with serious injury, they'll outlaw that.
Yeah,
for sure.
So we should just let him score a try.